Amen. So Psalm 100, how many in here memorized this as a kid? Anybody in here? I had a little girl come up to me in a church one time. She asked me what my favorite Bible verse was. I said, it's Psalm 100. And she said, well, I know that one by heart. And so she just rattled it off to me. And so some people learn that when they're children. Some people do that. And some people use verse number one to really help and encourage those who aren't very good at singing. Right? It says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. And so this is the verse that we use to encourage people to join in the church choir. And they say, no, I can't sing. I'm really bad. I can't carry a tune in a bucket. And we say, listen, it's okay. Just make a joyful noise, right? That's all that's important. And so that's how we start here in verse number one. It says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. And so I want you to consider this morning, is your life, this evening rather, is your life making a joyful noise unto the Lord? When people see you, when people look from the outside looking in, do they see your life making a joyful noise unto the Lord? How is your walk with God? Is it full of joy and excitement for all that he's done for you? We've all met those Christians that seem like they got a little extra dose, right? Like they just got a little bit more than everybody else. Like they just walk around walking on clouds and sunshine and everything's great and everything's rosy, right? Everything that happens in their life, it doesn't matter how bad it is, they just flip it and turn it on its head to make it something good, right? Have you met those people before? I have this friend who it doesn't seem to matter what happens to him, he always has a positive spin on it. The other day, he was driving down the road, and he got a flat tire. And I know if that was me, I would be pretty frustrated. I would think, I've got places to go, I've got things to do, and I don't have time for this in my schedule, right? But he got a flat tire, and he said, praise the Lord, I got to share the gospel with a tow truck driver today. I would have never had that opportunity if I didn't have a flat tire. Praise the Lord for a flat tire. Another day, he was sitting in traffic, and someone came up and rammed into the back end of his car. And I would be pretty frustrated, right? Wouldn't you? But yet, when he recounts the story, he says, praise the Lord, I got to share the gospel with this guy. I told him I wouldn't turn it into insurance if he'd come to church, right? So every situation has a silver lining with him. His life is making a joyful noise to the Lord. Everything about him says, God is good, right? God is always good. And so verse number one, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. We have something to be joyful about, don't we? We have something to be excited about, what God's done for us. Look at verse number two. So not only should we be making a joyful noise unto the Lord, verse number two says, serve the Lord with gladness. Serve the Lord with gladness. And really what this is it's distinctly different from those who would serve the Lord to try and earn something from God, right? We as Christians, we have this amazing privilege to serve the Lord out of the abundance of all that he's given us. That we get to look at all that the Lord's done for us and we get to serve him with gladness. We're not serving him so that he will be pleased with us. We're serving him because of all that he's done for us. We get to serve not out of scraping the bottom of the barrel and trying to just give him everything we can, right? We get to serve the Lord out of the abundance of all that he's given to us. We get to serve the Lord with gladness. And so in verse number two here, really it shows us two different things. It shows us, number one, that we ought to be serving, right? That's pretty simple. It says serve the Lord, right? And that's pretty simple. In 1 Corinthians 6:20, the Bible says that we were bought with a price. Right, that we're not our own. Our bodies are not our own. We don't get to decide everything for ourselves. We're not serving ourselves. We're bought with a price. Jesus was our example, wasn't he? And he was the most incredible example of a servant that there ever was. And if you read down through Philippians chapter 2 and you see all that he did, you think about Christ and his position in heaven, and you think about his position there with all of the honor and all of the glory and all of everything that was due to him, yet he set that aside. He came to the earth, not to be worshipped as a king, not to be served by others. He came to the earth and was a servant. The book of Mark tells us that he came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. I can't quite get that right in my head. I can't quite get it straight that the Lord of creation, the one who created all things, came to this earth to serve those that he created. It's an incredible thing that we have such an example like that in Jesus, that he came and he not only served, he did things like washing the feet of the disciples. The other night I was reading a Bible story with my girls and before bed, and we were talking about Jesus washing the feet of the disciples. And my oldest, Eden, she said, "Daddy, that's yucky." She said, "That's gross." I said, "That's exactly right. It is. It is, but Jesus did that for them. He showed humility and servanthood. Who are we to be any different than that? Who are we as Christians, as followers of Christ, to say that I don't need to serve others, right? We ought to be the biggest servants of them all, right? We ought to be coming into the church. We ought to be coming into our homes and saying, what can I do to serve others? What has God gifted me with so that I can serve others better? You see, we're all members of this body, right? As a church, you're members of a body, and so each one of you has something to contribute. God's gifted you uniquely. God's given you something that you can use to serve the rest of this church body. So what are you doing with the things that God's given you? We've been given these things so that we can serve, so that we can minister to one another. Our goals should not be to come to a church and think, what can they offer me? Right, I've heard that many times from people that they'll be looking for a church or they'll be searching for a new church and they'll say, well, this one's got a great children's program or this one's got this ministry or this ministry and so I'm just looking at what they have to offer. Really, our mentality, our desire when we come to church should be, how can I serve these people? How can I serve others? What has God given me that I can use to serve others? But not only that, he says, serve the Lord with gladness. So are you serving, number one? And number two, are you serving with gladness? Are you serving out of duty and begrudgingly because you have to? Because the Bible says serve the Lord. It also tells us to serve the Lord with gladness. And I think it's a very important addition here to not only are we serving the Lord, but we're doing so with the right attitude. We're doing so with gladness, out of the abundance of all the Lord has done for us. And so in serving the Lord, our attitude matters. Our attitude is really important. And if you're a parent in here, you know exactly what I'm talking about, right? You know exactly what I mean when service without the right attitude, it just doesn't really equal up, does it? When you ask your child, and I'll speak of your children because mine are perfect angels and they would never have an attitude, all right? We'll just get that clear. So when your children, when you ask them to go and pick up their room and clean up their toys, and they go in there and they're stomping around and throwing their toys into the bin and slamming the lid and shutting the door real hard on their way back out. When you see that, do you just go to them and say, thank you so much for being obedient? I'm so grateful for your servant's heart. No, because their attitude was horrible, right? And so our attitude is critically important. It's the same way as our relationship with the Lord. That he wants us to serve him. He wants us to contribute. He wants us to do that, but not begrudgingly, not with a bad attitude. We need to serve the Lord with gladness. It's a joy to serve Jesus. It's a joy to serve him. It's not a burden. It's not a burden to serve the Lord. And if you're feeling that way, then your focus is shifted. That your perspective is off. If you feel like it's a burden to serve the Lord, maybe you're feeling like it's just a strain on you to get up and to serve God. Maybe you've done it for many years. You've served others continually and you just feel drained, right? You feel like I give and I give and I give and I give and I don't get anything in return. Maybe that's the attitude that you've felt. Maybe that's the way that you've felt. I serve and I serve and I serve and I serve, but when's it my turn, right? You know, we are ministered to by the Lord, right? And as we go to him in his word and as we spend time with him in prayer, he fills us up so that we can be emptied out to others. And so if we're giving and giving and giving and giving and we're not receiving from the Lord what he's freely offering to us, and we're spending ourselves unnecessarily. We ought to give out of the abundance of what the Lord's given us because he's given us a whole lot, hasn't he? We serve a good God. And so are you serving with gladness? The second part of verse number 2 there, it says, come before his presence with singing. Now, how do you come before the Lord? How do you approach the Lord? Whether that be corporately together as a church here, or maybe that's in your private life as you come before the Lord. Privately, really, the Bible says that we can come boldly before his throne, right? Boldly before the throne of grace, and we can come to him. We can make our requests known to him. But what's your attitude when you come before the Lord? Is it an attitude of praise, of singing? You're coming before him and praising him for how good he is? I feel like so many times our prayer life can be consumed with, Lord, give me this and give me that and give me this and give me that. And by the time we're done with our list, it's the time's all up and we're ready to go about our day, and we forget who we're talking to. We forget who we're communicating to. And He's so worthy of our praise. He's so worthy of our adoration. He's worthy of us to praise Him with singing. When we come together as a group and we come before the Lord, is this so many times our conversations are wrapped up in current events, or they're wrapped up in the day-to-day of our lives, but really what it should be is us talking about how good God is. It should be us coming together and saying, this is what God did in my life this week. How many times is that just secondary? Right? First we talk about everything going on. First we talk about sports, or we talk about other common interests. And then if we have time, we'll talk about the Lord. Right? How many times are we consumed with that? When we come before the Lord, we ought to do so with singing, with praise. Look at verse number 3. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. And this is a humbling verse. I don't know about you, but for me it is. So many times I think that we forget this fact. We forget that we're His sheep. We forget that He's the one that made us, that we're not in charge. We forget that we have nothing of ourselves, but everything that we have is a gift from God. We forget that He's the one who cares for us. He's the one who takes care of us, who protects us. Did anybody in here have a strange pet growing up? When I was a young child, my dad came home one day and he brought us this animal into our house, and he had this little towel around it. He opened it up and he brought us a lamb. As weird as that is, I guess he grew up Amish, so he gets kids a lamb for a present. I don't know, but he gave us this lamb and he gave it to us to take care of and to raise and to protect, and so we did that. We had it in the backyard and we would feed it and we would water it and we would take care of it. We'd make sure it didn't get out. And one thing I realized about sheep is that they are really bad at caring for themselves. They get themselves into all sorts of trouble. They can't really protect or care for themselves. They're pretty reliant on a shepherd. They're pretty reliant on somebody to take care of them. And as I raised and took care of Maxwell, I realized that he was pretty dependent on me. That he needed me there for his protection. And that's exactly how we are with the Lord. We can't do anything of ourselves. We are dependent on the Lord to care for us. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It's He that made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Colossians 1:16 says, for by Him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. When I was growing, I grew up in church, and so I knew the gospel. I understood what Christ had done for me, but I didn't get saved until I was 18 years old. And in that process, in that time frame between there, there was a whole lot of searching in my life. I was seeking for something to fulfill me, whether that be friendships or relationships or sports or drugs or alcohol or whatever it was. I just wanted to find some place where I fit in. I just wanted to find something that would fulfill me. I wanted to find my purpose, right? I wanted to find what I was here for. And in Colossians 1:16, it says, all things were created by Him and for Him. So if you're here tonight, you've been created by Him, and you've been created for a purpose. You've been created for Him. You've been created for His honor and for His glory. We have the privilege to serve the God of all creation. The one who spoke the world into existence in Genesis 1, we get to serve that God. We get to serve the God who spoke the world into existence. We were once enemies with God, but He's made us His sons. What a privilege that is. What a privilege it is. And so it ought to be easy for us to serve the Lord with gladness, right? It ought to be easy for us to have a good attitude about serving Him. If you're not a believer here today, that you too were born for a purpose. You were created for a purpose, and that's to praise and to honor and to serve God. And just like me, there may be a time in your life, maybe right now, you're searching and seeking for something to fulfill you, and all the while not realizing that the reason you were created was for the Lord, and that He came and He died on the cross for you, that you could have a relationship with Him, and that the reason why you're here is to serve Him. The reason why you're here is to be made right with Him. 1 John 3:1 says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." What a privilege. What a privilege it is. Reading these verses, looking at this in Scripture, we ought to be overwhelmed at how good it is to be a child of God. How good it is to serve Him. It's not a burden, right? It's a privilege to serve God. Look at verse number 4. "Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His name." And we have so much to be thankful for, don't we? This verse is like the token verse for Thanksgiving, right? Where we read this, we talk about how thankful we are. We go around the dinner table, and we all say one thing we're thankful for, right? Everybody says something, and then we stuff our faces with turkey. We fall asleep and wake up just in time to get in line for Black Friday shopping, right? To get all the things that we're so thankful for, right? But then we go out and we do that. But this is the verse that so many people use for Thanksgiving, but it's so much more than that. This should be our attitude every single day of thankfulness for all that He's done for us. And we've seen throughout this passage even how we can be thankful for our salvation and for Him giving us a purpose in our life. But not only that, not only does He save us and give us a purpose, not only does He give us this great entrance into heaven when we pass away, but we have a transformed life, don't we? The Bible says that when we're saved, we're made a new creature. It says that old things are passed away and all things are become new. That we can walk in this newness of life. And I'm thankful. I don't know about you. I'm thankful for a transformed life. I'm thankful that I'm not the same person I was before. And it's an encouragement to me to listen to people's testimonies, to hear how God's changed their lives. If I could take you to Peru, I'd introduce you to one person and get to hear their testimony. It would be a man named Juan. And I'll tell you, there are a lot of people in Peru named Juan. All right, but this man, his testimony, he would tell you is that he was raised in this community. He was known as the town drunk. Everybody knew him that he would go out on Saturday nights and he would get so drunk he couldn't even find his way back home. And he lived this way for years and years. And one day he was on his way back home and he went to pass out alongside the road, and he passed out right in front of this church that was started by a missionary in his community. And so he went and he passed out there. And on Sunday morning, this missionary was getting ready for church. And he opened up the back doors of the church. He was getting everything set up. He straightened up the chairs and dusted everything off and cleaned everything up and turned on the lights. And he went out to the front to open the door. And here was Juan passed out in front of his church. Now, take a second and put yourself in his position, right? You're ready for a morning service. You're ready for everybody to come in and worship together. And you've been praying for visitors. Here's your visitor, right? Here he is. God sent him to you. And he looked at Juan as someone who Christ loved and who Christ died for, right? Who God loved and Christ died for. And he would help him up and he would share the gospel with him and he would help him home. And week after week, Juan continued to come back to church. Not to come to the service. He came to pass out in front of the church. He knew that if he passed out there, he would get home safe. But week after week, Juan got to hear the gospel. Until one day that missionary was preaching in the morning service and the doors to the church opened up and Juan came walking down the middle of the aisle. And he put up his hand and he said, "Could you just be quiet for a minute?" And in the middle of his sermon, he said, "Okay." And so he began to talk and Juan said, "Listen, you've been telling me how I'm a sinner, how I'm separated from God, how my life's not right, how I'm separated from God by my sin." And he realized that. He knew that. He knew he wasn't living a righteous lifestyle. He said, "And I've heard of God, and I've heard of Jesus, I've heard of Him dying on the cross, but you told me that He did that for me. You told me that when He died on the cross for sin, He died for me, and that I could be made right with Him by what He did for me, and I want to receive that today." And right then and there, Juan trusted Christ. He didn't understand the order of service, right? How you can come forward at the invitation and pray. And no, he was excited about what Jesus did for him. He was excited to hear the gospel, right? The good news. And so he began to go out in his community. He began to tell people about this change in his life. And people didn't really receive it. They thought, listen, this is the guy who's year after year after year had the same testimony. They thought it'll go a couple weeks and he'll be back to his old normal self. But week after week and month after month, they began to see a change in his life. Almost like he was a new creature, right? He was completely different than he used to be. And so families would come to that church. They'd come and they'd find that missionary and they'd say, "Listen, I don't know what you did to Juan, but can you change my kids? Can you fix my family? Because you did a miracle in him. Can you fix my family? And he would say, listen, I'm not the one who changed him, but I can tell them about the one who did. I can share with them about Jesus and all he's done for them. And families began to come, lives began to be changed because of the work that God did in Juan's life. And if you'd go and visit Lighthouse Baptist Church today, you'd see that Juan is now pastoring and preaching in that very same church he used to pass out drunk in front of. And that's a testimony to the grace of our God. Every single one of us are just like Juan. When we come before the Lord, we have nothing to offer, and yet he freely receives us. He freely accepts us as his children. We have so much to be thankful for, the transformation in our lives. And so look at verse number 5. And in verses 1 through 4, we've seen who our God is, how we ought to praise him, the attitudes we ought to have in that. But let's look at verse number 5 that tells us why the Bible says we ought to praise God. Verse number 5, for the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Number 1, the Lord is good. Despite my attitude, despite my circumstances and things like that that might change every day, the one constant is that God is good. That it doesn't matter what I'm going through, it doesn't matter how I feel about it, God is still good. And God's going to use those things together and work them together for good. And so maybe today you're finding yourself in a situation where you feel like, how in the world would God use this for good? Right? How in the world could God use the situation that I'm in tonight and use that for good? I can't possibly imagine a way God could do that. I'll tell you, I've thought those same thoughts. Right? I've been in those situations where I feel like, God, I don't know what you're doing. I don't know what's going on, and I can't imagine how this is ever going to turn out good. And then I turn around and I look several years later, and I thank God for what he's brought us through. I thank God for what he's done in our lives. I thank God for the difficulties, for the trials, because they brought us closer to him. They showed us our need and our dependence on him. And so despite what you're going through, whether it's good or bad or anything in between, the Lord is good. Verse number 5, the second thing we see here, the Lord is good and his mercy is everlasting. His mercy is everlasting. Thank God we don't get what we deserve. I'm so grateful for the mercy of God. And if I think about what I deserve, it is so far from what I've received. I do not deserve all that God's given me. But I want to encourage you tonight that no matter where you are, no matter where you've been, the Lord has enough mercy for you. It doesn't matter how far you've strayed from the Lord. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter how far away from God you've gotten. The Lord has enough mercy for you. The Bible says that his mercy is everlasting. That means it doesn't run out. That means that you can't out-sin the grace of God. That means that you can't go too far. That means that you're never too far gone for God to accept you, for God to receive you. It says his mercy is everlasting. I'd like to encourage you as parents and grandparents that if you have children or grandchildren that are far from God, that have strayed away from the Lord, that you would continue to pray for them. And I'm so thankful that my parents didn't stop praying for me. When they knew that I was living a life that wasn't pleasing to the Lord, when they knew that I wasn't doing what I should, they didn't give up. They didn't stop praying. They didn't stop investing in me. They didn't stop caring about me. And they knew that the Lord's mercy is everlasting. That no matter how far gone I got, the Lord's mercy is everlasting. I'm thankful for parents that continue to pray for me. Pray for your children. Pray for your grandchildren. The Lord's mercy is everlasting. Third thing we see in verse number 5, we see the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. And I am so thankful that I have God's word to build my life on. In a day and age where everything seems to change every single day, it seems like everything going on around us is just, it's one way today and it's another way tomorrow, and it's always changing and shifting. But we as believers, we have God's word. And we can build our lives on a firm foundation. We can build our lives on God's word. His truth endureth to all generations. So what's this passage have to do with missions, right? That's probably what you're thinking. I would be thinking that if I were you. Look back at verse number 1. Look back at verse number 1. It says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. This is what our God deserves. He deserves the praise and the worship and the adoration from all people. Not just from you and not just from me, but from people all over the world. It says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. That's all people, all lands. So I want to ask you tonight, what needs to change in your life so that the Lord will get praise and honor and glory from you? What needs to change in your life so that the Lord will get praise and honor and glory from you? What's hindering you from praising God today? The Bible says here that we're to make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands, that all people are supposed to make a joyful noise unto the Lord, but it starts with each and every one of us. It has to start with you and with me. We have to start with this, looking at ourselves personally and saying, what's hindering me from praising God today? Maybe you've lost your joy in serving God. Maybe it's been years and you work and you work and you work and you strive and you strive and you strive and you feel like you're running on empty. Maybe you've lost the joy of serving God. Maybe it's hard for you to serve the Lord with gladness. Now, maybe today you're facing difficulty. You're tempted to blame God and to think that He's not good in this situation, but the Bible says the Lord is good. And despite what I'm going through, despite my reaction, despite my emotions, despite my attitude, the Lord is good. And we need to focus our minds on that to know that He is good. Maybe you've lost your thankfulness to God. You've forgotten all that He's done for you. Man, if we'll shift our focus and see all the things that we have to be thankful for, it'll change our perspective. It'll change the way that we look at our situations. The Lord, He deserves praise from all lands, but it has to start with you and me. Psalm 100 is what's called a processional psalm. And so this would have been something that was sung together as they went to worship the Lord together as a group, as a congregation, and they would have all come together and sang this on their way to worship the Lord. And if you'll picture it with me, I just imagine this as we are, as believers, as we're going, we're making our way, we're worshiping the Lord, we're praising Him, we're honoring Him, we're doing all the things that we see in this passage, and all that missions is, all that we're doing as missionaries is going to just try to recruit more people to worship the Lord. We're walking down this road together, and we're all worshiping the Lord, and we're just saying, would you come worship with us? Would you come praise the Lord? He deserves your praise. This is what He's done for you. This is all that He's done for you. Would you come and praise the Lord? Would you honor Him? Would you worship Him? This is the God that we serve. And look at what He's done for you. He deserves your praise. That's what missions is telling other people about all that God's done for us and all the ways that He deserves the praise of not only you and me, but the people all over this world. So it starts with you and me. It starts with us and our relationship with the Lord. So tonight, what's hindering?